Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
It's a big day in gridiron history because we celebrate not only the birth of Walter Camp, the founder of modern football, but Baselli and Josting as well. And we learn why Hornig and Karras are suspended by the NFL. All coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pig Pen. And like we told you at the beginning, this is a big day in gridiron history because there are events galore here and some birthdays of Hall of Famers, some big names that we're going to celebrate. In fact, the biggest one, Walter Camp. But before we get to that, we want to tell you about first our newspapers.com story of the day in our football history headlines. April 17th, 1963, Paul Hornung of the Green Bay Packers and Alex Karras from the Detroit Lions were suspended from the NFL indefinitely for betting on NFL games. According to a newspaper write up on that day in the Nashville Banner, and we got that from newspapers.com, not only were these two NFL stars suspended, but five other Detroit Lions other than Karras were fined $2,000 each, and the Michigan franchise incurred a penalty of $4,000 as a result of an investigation into pro football gambling. The five Lions players involved were guard John Gordy, defensive back Gordy Lau, linebacker Joe Schmidt, and defensive end Sam Williams, and one other unnamed player who allegedly bet $50 each on a 1962 NFL championship game played between the New York Giants and the Green Bay Packers. Alex Karras, on the other hand, incriminated himself in a television interview stating that he bet on games only for cigarettes and cigars, but the NFL judges as guilty by association with individuals described by the Detroit police as known hoodlums. Paul Hornig's story, just a little bit different. He befriended a wealthy West Coast businessman just before the East-West Shrine Game in 1956 in San Francisco. And that mystery figure, who was known to bet on both college and pro games from then on, would call to query Hornung about football games. In 1959, Hornung was said to have started to place bets on NFL games and this so-called friend, and they spoke twice per week, and $100, $200, and sometimes even $500 bets were said to have been placed, according to the NFL's investigation. Commissioner Pete Rozelle was quoted as saying that the review of Karras and Hornig suspensions would not be reviewed until 1964, 1 year later. We know that there was a reprieve to the sentence on March 16, 1964, and you can check that out on our podcast for the March 16th football history headlines. We talk about that reinstatement. Now, if you want to be able to read through some of the old articles like we just did through the Nashville Banner, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you can get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the US, Canada, England, Scotland, and Ireland, and more, dating back to 1798 all the way to yesterday. Get a free 1 week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers, and with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows. That's sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers to get in all the action and read about the great history that happens just like we do here at the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch. April 17th, 1999. The 1999 version of the NFL draft took place. The University of Kentucky quarterback Tim Couch was the first pick of the expansion team Cleveland Browns franchise. There were also some pretty nice picks made too, as Couch was followed by Syracuse's Donovan McNabb to the Eagles, since he took Akili Smith of Oregon. Hall of Fame back Edgerrin James went fourth to the Colts, followed by Ricky Williams to New Orleans, and a big trade by then coach Mike Ditka who basically gave all of his 1999 picks for the opportunity to draft Williams. NC State wideout Torrey Holt went next to the St. Louis Rams, and Hall of Fame defensive back Champ Bailey was picked up by the Washington Redskins, according to the ProFootballReference.com website. And now it's time to get to your birthdays of Hall of Famers. And this first birthday, we told you, is Walter Camp. And we are running a special bonus edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch today, an interview with Roger Tamptey, the author of a 2018 biography on Walter Camp. And we have some great stuff to discuss there. So make sure you join us for that bonus edition right after you get done listening to this podcast. But we're going to talk about Camp right now because he was born April 17th, 1859. Some people and some sources say he was born April 7th, 1859. But we're going to go with what the National Football Foundation has on their website. And they have April 17th. And either way, you know, he was born sometime in April. We're going to celebrate the man and his accomplishments. He was born in New Britain, Connecticut. And Walter Camp, the great player and coach from Yale, was born that day. Camp is known as the father of American football because he suggested innovations to the line of scrimmage, series of downs, and a creation of player positions of snapper and quarterback to handle the transitions of scrimmage. These revisions set the American football on a course to be a sport all its own and peel away from the already established games of soccer and rugby. Camp also was an innovative coach who spearheaded some of the most dominant college football teams of all time. Walter Camp was the Yale Bulldogs coach from 1888 to 1892 and the Stanford Cardinal coach 1894-95 seasons. According to Jay Abramson of the History of College Football podcast, in the 1888 season, the average margin of victory was by a score of 54-0. Therefore, Yale went 13-0. In fact, the Bulldogs shut out every opponent and scored over 60 points six times under Camp. They even knocked around an outmatched Wesleyan team 105-0, and their closest game that season was a 10-0 shutout over Princeton. That 1888 team amazingly outscored their opponents 698-0. Wow. It wasn't a fluke either, as Camp and the Bulldogs repeated the feat in from 1880 to 1892. They had a 68-2 record, posting three unscored upon undefeated teams in 5 years. When not coaching, Camp officiated games and even started the Walter Camp All-American Awards at the end of the season. Walter continued to go to the rules meetings all the way until 1925 when he died at a rules convention. And there's a lot more when we talk to Roger in our bonus edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch with author Roger Tamptey of the Walter Camp biography. So make sure you check that out, folks, because it is a great interview. April 17th, 1905, Little Falls, Minnesota. Herb Josting, the Minnesota Golden Gophers fullback from 1925 to 1927, arrived into the world. According to the footballfoundation.org website, Josting was a powerful runner, and Gopher coach Clarence Doc Spears knew how to use him, building the entire Minnesota offense around the style and the talent of Herb. After two straight seasons of being frustrated by Josting, Notre Dame head man Newt Rockne proclaimed ahead of the 1927 matchup, "I'll buy a new suit for the guy who can throw Josting for a loss." Well, sorry, coach, but no Irish player was able to collect on the new threads as Josting and the Gophers ended up in a 7-7 tie with the mighty Irish that season, ending up with a final record of 6 wins, 0 losses, and 2 ties. The Owatonna Thunderbolt, as he was called in his senior season, received the honor of being called an All-American for the third straight year. Herb recorded 1,850 career yards in 24 games for a career average of 4.2 yards per carry. He knew only one way to play the game. "I play each game for all it's worth," he said. "No more can be asked of an athlete that he goes all out in every situation." Those words really inspired a young Gopher sophomore named Bronco Nagurski, who would be watched and learned from the great performances of Josting during the next two seasons, and what a career Bronco Nagurski had. Herb Josting received the great honor of being selected for inclusion in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1954. April 17, 1941, Red Bluff, California. The Occidental two-way quarterback and defensive back of the 1962 and 1963 seasons, Bill Riddell, was born. When the experts talk about the well-balanced player, there can't be many more balanced than the Falcon, as Riddell was called. Riddell passed for 1,567 yards and rushed for 1,583 yards for his collegiate career. He tossed 11 touchdowns and ran 8 more, and averaging 6.3 yards per carry. Bill also picked off 7 passes on defense and kicked 36 of 43 extra point attempts. It was a consistent play like this that got him named to the NAIA All-American team in 1963. Bill Riddell's collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 2001. After college, he played 6 years in the CFL for the Edmonton Eskimos, Hamilton Tiger Cats, and the Calgary Stampeders. After hanging up the cleats in 1970, he became the football coach first as an assistant at Cal State Fullerton and California Lutheran, and then later he was the head coach, the first head coach of a brand new program at Oaks Christian High School in Westlake Village, California. April 17, 1972, Modesto, California. The massive offensive tackle of the USC Trojans from 1991 to 1994, Tony Boselli, celebrates his day of birth. Standing at 6'8" and weighing in at 305 pounds, Boselli was a two-time All-American and a 1994 NFF National Scholar Athlete, according to the NFF. Tony was highly decorated as a gridiron athlete, as he was selected as a consensus first-team All-America honors in his senior season, the 1994 finalist for the Outland Trophy, and two-time semifinalist for the Lombardi Trophy. Boselli also was the 1994 Morris Trophy winner as the top offensive lineman in the Pac-10 Conference. The National Football Foundation selected Tony Boselli for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2014. Tony was the first ever draft pick by the Jacksonville Jaguars when he was selected as the second overall pick in the 1995 NFL Draft. The five-time Pro Bowl selection, played 7 seasons with the Jaguars before finishing his career with the Houston Texans in 2002. Well, that's what we have today for your football history headlines and your birthdays of Hall of Famers, and we are sure glad you joined us. We hope that you'll come back tomorrow and join us here on the podcast, both on your favorite podcast player, or you can go to sportshistorynetwork.com and check us out there, along with all the other great podcasts and hosts, the guests that comes on to all those great shows on sports history. Or you can go to our website, pigskindispatch.com/podcast, and see all of our podcasts in one place. Or just go to pigskindispatch.com and check out all the great articles that we have written there. Many of them are transcribed to these podcasts, so you can check those out. Special bonus edition today on Walter Camp. You can see that. And we have many more Football by Numbers series going on, with lots of them coming up this week. So make sure you check those out, including some guest appearances. And we're going to have a guest appearance of George Bozica of the Pro Football Research Association is going to tell us about some great things that are going on in Canton this summer. So make sure you check those things out, folks. If you want to get in touch with us, it's pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.